Greetings this morning to each of you in Jesus' name. And Brian, this morning, if you have these notes, I need to get with you because it will save me some minutes if I can just get them from you. This morning is a special morning as we look at child dedication this morning, and God loves children. And this morning we have two families that have little ones here that God has blessed them with and gave them the responsibility of raising these young children. And it's a special day. Oakland and Darcy, they're not going to remember any of this today. But it's an agreement, a covenant, a promise that you enter into that you will do your best to raise and to train these children. And this morning, the reference where we're going to go to this morning is in Mark 10, verse 13, is a scripture that we're going to turn to this morning. We're going to read. And for Kevin and Heidi, especially, Walter and Sheila might not be quite as much, and I see they're both out already. So I thought about it. I said, you know how often it is that you have something like this, you know, a dedication, something like this, and then it's like the children start needing stuff, and before you know it, it's like 30 minutes are past. Like, well, what did he even say? And so I said, well, I'm going to start out this morning, and I'm going to give them the reference, and I'm going to give them something to remember that it's like if they forget the whole rest of the message, then at least they have that little piece that they can hang on to. And I see they're not in here yet anyhow, so for Heidi and for Sheila. But this morning what we're going to talk about is how will you bring Oakland, how will you bring Darcy to Jesus? That's the question this morning, and each one of us can ask that this morning, and each one of us have a responsibility as well. But I'm talking to Kevin and Heidi and Walter and Sheila this morning. Mark 10, verse 13, it said, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And they took him in his arms. He blessed them, laying his hands on them." This same story is also listed in two other the accounts. It's listed in Matthew and Luke as well. This is the only account that actually says that they were bringing infants to him. The others don't mention that in those. If we look at the setting of where this is taking place and when this is taking place, chronologically, this happens somewhere towards the end of 27 AD, which would have been not long before Jesus entered into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry. If you were to go back to ancient culture would regard children as a burden until they were strong enough to physically contribute to the family. The disciples here in this passage also looked at the children as a distraction. They were a distraction, an annoying distraction. Jesus was busy. He was in a meeting. He was busy. He had something he was doing. He had greater things to do than to talk to the children. But Jesus made it very clear, emphatically reacts, showing that the children are as important to him as adults. They are equally worthy of his love. You know, I remember as I was studying this, and I remember back, it's been a couple years ago here when I was delivering a building, and you know, you hear these stories of people that they're in a coma and they see a bit of heaven, or as they see, you know, they go to heaven for a little bit and then they come back. And there was this man that was telling me the story of someone that was in a coma, and they saw a bit of heaven, and they were walking through heaven, and as they went through heaven, they were able to look into the different rooms and different places of heaven. But they came to this one door, and as they came to this one door, there was laughing inside, children laughing inside, and they went to open the door, and they said, "No, you can't open that door. The Father is in there." And it just reminded me again of this, how much Jesus loves those little children that are sitting on your laps this morning. Jesus took them in his arms. His arms were open. He took them in his arms. He welcomed them. He accepted them. He loved them. And as I looked at that, as I looked at this story, you have the disciples and you have Jesus. Jesus is here, the disciples and the parents. The parents and the disciples, the parents are bringing these children to come to Jesus. They're that person that is in charge of this child, and they're bringing them. The disciples, you're the leaders. You're the ones that are to bring these little ones to Jesus. And either they were going to stop them, or they were to open the door for them to come, or open the way for them to come to Jesus. This morning, parents, you're Kevin, Walter, Heidi, and Sheila, you are that person that can bring this child to Jesus. Are you and I bringing them, or are we blocking the way? How will you bring this young one to Jesus? This morning, I have the heading, Teach Them, and that covers a lot of different area. But I have six ways of how to bring these young ones to Jesus. You know, Oakland, I'm sure as he gets older, he's going to know how to build. He'll know how to make something, and I'm sure he'll know how to wash the clothes and put them in the closet in the right order. I'm sure Darcy will know how to make donuts. And I'm sure that she will probably be able to tell you most things about a sewing machine and probably even be able to take one and take it apart and put it together. You know, what's important to you, they find important. It hasn't been that long ago. That's why the box truck actually works, because, you know, I had the box truck home to do a little work on it, and one of my little ones crawled up under there with her plastic tools. They were going to fix that truck, and they were under there a little bit, and they looked at it, and they said, here's the problem. They pulled out a leaf from up underneath, you know. But as you work on things, as you do things, what you find important and what's important to you becomes important to them. And these aren't bad things. These are good things. Proverbs 22:6 says, start a children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Children will model you as a parent. If you want them to have a strong relationship with God, you must have a strong relationship with God. Number two, teach them how to love unconditionally. God loves each one of you unconditionally. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. While the world was dead in sin, Christ died for us. Hasn't been that long ago I talked about the prodigal son and God's love, regardless of what happens, his love for you. A child's home experience will influence a child of their view of God. Sociologists say it's common for people to perceive God as like the fatherly figure in their life. If love at home is conditional, there's a good chance they will view God's love as conditional. It doesn't mean we don't discipline, but they need to feel safe and loved even when they do wrong. There was an article on Leah Mish, I think is how you say her last name. But she was 13 when her parents divorced. She says her biological father made sure they went to church and prayed at mealtime. He was the leader and provider. But she hit some very hard times as she was in college. She says, but her surrogate father in the family restored her faith in God and gave her added purpose in life. at a crisis time in her life, this father showed kindness, concern, and love regardless. She says it was then she began to see God as present no matter what, as loving no matter what. Love them with no strings attached. Number three, help them to serve others. In Matthew 10:7, it says, freely you have received, freely give. In Matthew 25:37, we all know the story where Jesus said, where the righteous said, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? And he said, when you have done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. We are called to look out for the poor and needy. There was a study in 2006 from the National Institute of Study of Health. They found that when people give to charities or others in need, it activates regions of the brain associated with pleasure, social connection, trust, and happiness, creating a warm glow effect. God calls us to look out, to help others, and He blesses it. When we as parents find it important to look out and serve others, it's likely your children may find the same. They will find parts of that the same, at least. This is another way to bring your child to Jesus. Number four, share your faith through Scripture. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Deuteronomy 11 says, fix your words of mine in your hearts and mine and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Yesterday, as I sat there and studied, all of a sudden the children came in the door and they had this thing. They were like, there was a problem, and Nicole got her hair stuck in the tree. And they came in, and I said, well, you know there's a story in the Bible about that, right? And they were like, what? Anyhow, so I told them, and they came over. They said, where? So they jumped up my lap, and I actually was able to just flip over to the find it for them, and I read them the little story about Absalom. But, you know, there's many opportunities as you go through life. Little things will happen, and that you'll be able to share God's word with them. Take those opportunities. Look for opportunities to share God's word with them. Number five, pray for them. Max Licato said this about prayer. He said, dads, we can do this. We can be loyal advocates, stubborn intercessors. We can take our parenting fears to Christ. In fact, if we don't take our fears to Christ, we'll take them out on our children. Then he goes on to say, Jesus says little about parenting, no comments on spanking, sibling rivalry, or schooling. Yet his actions speak volumes about prayer. Jesus' message to mom and dads, raise them in a greenhouse of prayer. Bring your child to Christ through prayer. Not just prayers of needs, but prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. Even times when they're just trying to keep from going to bed for just another minute, it's okay to take that. It's good to take that time and pray. You know, you have this little ritual. I don't know what y'all have, but sometimes they want to rock, and then you lay them down in bed, and they're like, oh, I'm scared. And it's like, you don't have this time to be scared yet, you know. And they have all these things, and then the final thing is when you're just about done, they say, well, can you pray with me? Of course, I can pray with you. Take that time, pray with them. It shows them that you can come to Jesus at any time. Sometimes it might be scary. How will you answer those questions when that prayer isn't answered? Or may seem to be unanswered. Yet the same peace that God gives you, your prayers aren't always answered or not in the way you think they may be, and yet God gives you that peace. God will give that child that same peace as well. They will see how you respond to your prayers, and they likely will respond somewhat likewise. Will every prayer be answered just like they want? No, but neither are yours, and your response is highly influential to them. In 1820, there was a husband. The husband of Mercy passed away, leaving a 20-year-old mom and her mother Eunice in charge of a blind 1-year-old infant. Eunice determined that this child would flourish and spent much time and embedded scripture and classic stories through memorization and much prayer. At the age of 31, this child gave her life to the Lord. Later, this child, now an adult, wrote this quote, and you know this person quite well. Her name is Fanny Crosby. She wrote, "God will answer your prayers better than you think. Of course, one will not always get exactly what he asked for. We all have sorrows and disappointments, but one must never forget that if commended to God, they will issue in good. His solution is far better than any we could conceive." Again, your response to answered and unanswered prayers are highly influential in that little child that you're raising. Number 6, allow them to have their own faith. Kevin and Heidi, you can do a lot of things for Oakland, and yet he must make that decision on his own. He must choose for himself to follow Jesus. Walter and Sheeta, you can do a lot of things for Darcy. You can show her a lot of right ways to live. And yet she will have to make that choice on her own to follow Jesus. They have to grow in their faith. It is your responsibility to show them what a strong faith in God and a good relationship with Christ looks like. This will have a big influence on them, but they will have to make that choice. Every one of us here influences these young ones. There was an article I read that said that it shows that there was a study that has this 5-to-1 ratio, and every young person that has 5 adults, positive adults in their life, is very highly influential to them as they grow up. And now as we look at this story that we read here this morning in Scripture, here's Jesus with his arms open, waiting for those children to come. And as I was thinking about it this week, I thought, you know, you take that child, that young child, and that person's a stranger. They grab around your neck, they hang on, they're scared. They don't recognize, they're scared of them. And yet most of the times, if it's family, somebody they're very familiar with, most of the times they're comfortable with them. Sometimes they're not. I know of one that wasn't. I had to work a while they were scared of their uncle, and I had to work a while till they were actually okay with me. But, you know, as we bring these children, as we teach these children about Jesus, as we bring them to him, is he a friend? Is he someone to be trusted? Is he someone who loves? Is he one who cares? What have you taught your young one about Jesus? His arms were open. Now, can you leave them in Jesus' arms? As we think of that, leaving them in the arms of Jesus, turning them loose to what's best, what God has for them, sometimes that can be hard. this week, as I was thinking about this, as this scripture came to my mind, and I felt that's the way God was leading me, and I thought a fair amount this week about being able to let them in the arms of Jesus and what all that entails. And my mind went multiple times to Ansley this week. You know, as a parent, none of us would choose that for our child. And then as I was studying, I read about Fanny Crosby and, you know, what happened to her eyes and how she lost her sight. And again, as a parent, none of us would want that for our child. And then again, as I read the quote that Fanny Crosby wrote, God will answer your prayers better than you think. Of course, one will not always get exactly what he asked for. We all have sorrows and disappointments, but one must never forget that if commended to God, they will issue in good. His own solution is far better than we could ever conceive. It's safe to leave your child in the arms of Jesus. Walter and Sheila, Kevin and Heidi, I'm pretty sure someday you'll look back and there will be things that you'd say, you know, it wasn't, what was it, a couple Sundays, hasn't been long ago, Dale will ask you if you look back at 2023, if you would do anything different. And you'll look back and you'll say, you know, if I had to do that over, I would do some things different. That's okay. We've all made mistakes and we've all been there. Take the opportunity. Be intentional. Give it your best. Again, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." And he took them in his arms. He blessed them, laying his hands on them. There's an article that I want to end with here this morning. As I was studying, and I came across this article. It says, Jesus took them in his arms. And it just, again, shows how important that these little ones are to Jesus. It says, there are many pictures given of the Son of God. He faced with boldness the tempter, showed his power by walking on the water, cleared out the money changers in the temple, prayed earnestly in the garden, and died humbly on a cross at Golgotha. All of these images describe the character of the man of Nazareth who was God in the flesh. But one of the most endearing images of Jesus was his time with children. He was not so aloof that he did not want to take time out of his incredible busy schedule to take some children in his arms and talk with them. The parents who brought the children wanted the Lord to touch them and bless them. Standing in their way were the disciples, who felt the work of the Lord was too important to fuss about children. This is a mistake made by those who do not understand the true character of Jesus. He wants and longs to spend time with children. They are a breath of fresh air to the upright, worried, and anxious adults. Jesus was upset with his disciples that they would keep the children away from him. Did they not realize how important the children are to his ministry? Jesus did not come just to talk to adults. He wanted to talk to the children. The Lord made a powerful spiritual lesson with the children, but there was more to it than that. He took them in his arms, laid his hands on them. Can you see the smiles, the giggles, and the shy child who is not sure about this man? Look a little closer and you will see a calm delight fall over the eyes of Jesus as he looks into the face of these innocent children who are as pure as the driven snow. The little boy who feels the firm grip of the man who embraces him feels secure and content. From the face of the little girl comes a smile, radiant as the sun, because she knows this man is full of love. All the children sitting on the knees of Jesus, asking questions, laughing, talking, and feeling this man with whom they are somehow know is a place of safety. The heart of Jesus is bursting. He has been challenged by the Pharisees about marriage and divorce. The disciples have argued about the greatness. There is concern that those who do not that there are those who do not follow Jesus casting out demons. The adults that surround him were filled with problems and questions and pride. In the midst of this storm of doctrinal issues sits a man holding a group of children and smiling. Jesus is blessing the pure in heart. Children need to be brought to Jesus. They need to learn from the earliest age that Jesus cares for them. He wants to know them, teach them, and mold their hearts to love his Father. The Bible is not a book for adults alone. Parents must teach their children from the day they are born to know the songs of love of God. Little babies need to hear the voice of the father and the mother reading the Holy Scriptures. They need to hear the hymns of praise from the lips of their parents. Church services should be a time of reverence as they sing, pray, and learn from the preaching of the gospel. Jesus wants the little children to come to him so that he can bless them. Forbidding the children displeases the Father. Learning to fall in love with the Lord is a vital part of growing the heart that will one day become a child of God. Children who learn to love Jesus today will learn to love his Father in obedience later. Let the little children come. Walter and Sheila, Kevin and Heidi, may God bless you as you, from day to day, bring these little children to him in different ways that you lead them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then I'll turn the time over to Dale. Thank you this morning, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for these little ones. You've blessed us with them. God, I pray that you would help us as parents to be examples and to lead them. And God, our desire is that they would, as they grow up, they would give their lives to you and that they would serve you and love you. God, I pray this morning that you would bless Walter and Sheila and Kevin and Heidi as they raise Darcy and Oakland and also Lakeland and Jocelyn as well for Kevin and Heidi. God, I just pray that you would bless them as they live their life as an example that would teach them. And God, I just pray that you would bless each other one here. Bless each today. And again, thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Marley. Marley asked a question. I'm not sure exactly that I'm going to be able to repeat it like he did, but the question is, how do you bring this child to Jesus? How are you going to bring this child to Jesus? Then he gave us six ways to do that. And I'm going to sum that up in two words. Be faithful. And that's been my prayer, our prayer for our children, is that they would be faithful in teaching their children and pointing them to Christ. That all of us have a responsibility. And recognizing that, we must be intentional. I remember well, sometimes as parents, we make decisions and choices that